When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
We never know where life will lead us or what may hinder us along the way. But while every day can feel like one big question mark, it doesn't have to. With the right insights, strategies, and solutions from Western and Southern Financial Group, together we can look ahead to leave the unknown behind.
Doing. Last week they had Brady. This week they got Brady.
We're doing it. We're literally doing it differently from everybody else.
Hey, as a matter of fact, moving forward from this point on, I will not make reference to PML.
Ready to get into it?
Yeah.
All right. So, we're going team by team. I would be very careful about slinging stuff. Am I going to get sued?
Are we going legal on this?
I like football. I like football season. All the things that go with it.
Mock draft time, Tuesday, March the 7th. Mike, we're back. We're going to do our mock draft. We are going to be live in the YouTube chat so you can lambast our selections, give us suggestions, or whatever it is you want to do. One more day before we get Steve back in his own podcast after an extended leave of absence. So we're going to dive right into it. We're going to use PFF's mock draft simulator. If you go to pff.com/mock, right? Not draft.
Correct, mock.
But the actual link has got draft. That's confusing me. You can do your own mock drafts to your heart content, or you can follow along if you want to do this as well. Before we get into it, though, just got to tell you about Western and Southern. The Western Southern Studio, the plaque on the wall, this entire process is due to them, is down to their support. The PFF NFL podcast is sponsored by Western and Southern Financial Group. While you focus on your roster moves or your mock draft, Western and Southern helps advance your money moves. Buying your first home, planning to start a family, wondering how to make your money grow, Western and Southern's playbook of life insurance, investment, and retirement solutions helps you rest assured on game day. Team up to understand needs and address goals with a game plan built just for you. Get started at westernsouthern.com/PFF. westernsouthern.com/PFF. So, the people, they wanted a collaborative mock draft. They wanted us to be the war room for every one of these teams. We've decided we're going to do it like what we would do, not what we think these teams are going to do, because God knows that could be anything at this point. And we're going to have to do some trades because we can't have Chicago actually using the number one overall pick because there's just no way that happens.
Yes. So we were debating that pre-show, who we should have move up to number one.
Right. So the first order of business is who actually wants that number one overall pick. I had quite a fancy trade worked out with Carolina at 9. You can get quite the trade haul from Carolina jumping that far up.
Yeah.
But you have to wonder, does Carolina need to jump that far up? And does Chicago want to go back that far? And really, I think when you were thinking about it, Houston makes some sense to go from 2 to 1, get back the pick that was rightfully theirs and they squandered. and just ensure they get their guy, right? Whoever, yes. Whatever happens from here on in, we're drafting the quarterback we want, and we're not screwing around with that. Indianapolis at 4 makes some sense, mm-hmm. depending on who it is they like, knowing that they would be jumping Houston and potentially taking the quarterback away from them. I think Carolina does make some sense, but it kind of depends which quarterback they're interested in. Maybe the Raiders are desperate enough from 7, given their inactivity so far, yeah. given the fact that they got rid of Derek Carr fairly unceremoniously. That's probably it, though, right?
Yeah, I could see the Titans at 11, too, because if they don't jump up to 1, well, you're going to have to play against the guy who, you know, probably Bryce Young for the next decade. So, you know, it's either we get him or we're playing against him because he's going to go to the Houston Texans
yeah.
if you don't.
If they love a quarterback, mm-hmm. it makes a lot of sense for those two reasons because yeah. you're doubling the impact that it has. Not only are you getting that guy, but you're also keeping him away from either Indianapolis or Houston.
Yeah. So I wrote a whole article actually about what trades it would take, what value it would take from kind of each of these teams to get up to that number one overall pick based on historically what's been the surplus that you get when a quarterback's at the top of the draft.
Right.
The one thing is when you're the Houston Texans, the one pick swaps don't usually give you as much mm-hmm. trade value. So if you're the Chicago Bears, you know, just one pick, because from the Texans' perspective, you can argue you're getting the guy you want anyway, Chicago. Why am I giving up all this picks to you when you're going to get the same guy? But I do think there's a lot of value for Chicago to get that same guy that they want at number one overall, especially after the Jalen Carter news. So to be still at pick 2 gives them a guy in Will Anderson that's a game-changing edge rusher, whereas if they move down to pick 7, 9, 11, you're far more of a crapshoot in the guy you're drafting. So for the Houston Texans to get that trade value, what I said was number 2, number 33, and number 104 overall would kind of give them an 8.9% surplus. And the Jimmy Johnson trade value for the Indianapolis Colts, number 4, number 35, number 79, in addition to a 2024 first and third. So you immediately see the price start to rise.
Yeah, yeah.
That gives you the kind of surplus value, 24.5% surplus on the Jimmy Johnson trade chart that's in line with historical trades up that we've seen. Las Vegas Raiders, it would take number 7, number 38, number 70, a 2024 first, a 2024 second. You're seeing why teams are maybe saying, in this deep quarterback class, I don't know if I have to get all the way up to number 1, especially when that guy maybe is a mid, almost called him an M-word, but is a very small, statured quarterback. Then if the Carolina Panthers, number 9, number 61, 2024 first, and a 2025 first is what it's probably going to take to get up to number 1 overall
yeah.
to match that Jimmy Johnson trade value chart. That makes a lot of sense from the Bears' perspective to get those futures first. But if you're the Carolina Panthers saying, I'm risking my franchise for this guy who may not be healthy, or if it's C.J. Stroud, I may be able to get later on the draft. Well, I think that's why I think the Texans of all those make the most sense.
Yeah, and the only way it makes any sense for a team trading up and giving up that kind of collateral is the quarterback,
yes.
right? So, you know, Houston have number 12 as well, but there's no way it makes any sense for them to ever deploy a trade that involves number 12 to get to 1, so they have 1 and 2, because by definition, they would be doing that for a non-quarterback effectively, you
mm-hmm.
know, because they're already sitting there at number 2. You kind of, it's a little bit of a mix because you're
yes,
taking the quarterback yeah. at 1, but it just does make the sense, right?
I agree.
Flip number 2 plus the second rounder, whatever you need to give up, and then just get that done. And then
yeah.
you pick again with number 12 anyway.
So who do you want? Who do we want to trade up?
I think Houston makes the most sense.
Okay.
But I think the Bears would want basically any other trade just
yeah.
because of the amount of
the
extra
haul.
Collateral it's going to give you. Like mm-hmm. they want the haul for this. They want to
yes.
be able to have as much as humanly possible and
rebuild,
break that down around Justin Fields. But the best deal available, or the most interested team, might be Houston. So
yeah,
I
think Houston. I go Houston. Let's go 233-104 for number 1.
Done.
Have it go through, and we'll go Bryce Young number 1. And again, I think Bryce Young's top quarterback in this draft. We've talked about this. It's just like he is head and shoulders. The fact that he looks, you know, like a child standing next to Anthony Richardson, and people are still like, yeah, I want the child. Give me,
yeah.
you know, they stand next to each other. Yeah, give me the child. That just tells you how good he is at the quarterback position.
He is. You were saying you went back through his tape and just sort of reminded you how good he is.
Yeah.
Which I think is going to happen every time. Like you're going to – every now and again, you're going to be like, can this really work? Let's go back and figure out why it's not going to function at the next level because he's so small.
Yeah.
It just, it, it does. It works. He's good. He's really good. Like, his anticipation is so far off the charts. That's the kind of thing that buys you an awful lot of wiggle room by not being able to see
it. It's just like the speed with which he sees stuff, no matter what it is, whether it's pressure, whether it's, you know, guys coming open, whether it's on the move, juking defenders. He just different level. Different level.
I think it was during the broadcast. It might have been Jeremiah saying that that there are a bunch of plays where he sort of thinks that he might not actually be able to see, but is so good at anticipating where everyone's going to be. He just puts the ball in the air blind and sort of knows that it's going to get there at the right time in the right place, which, if it's true, is kind of phenomenal. And from his tape, I can kind of buy that. There's a bunch of these plays where the anticipation he's throwing it with are so insane that – it's not
like...
You
couldn't have seen it.
Right, well, there's nothing to see at that point. Yeah. You're just sort of plotting out where the things are going to end up and putting the ball in the air.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Chicago on the clock will pick two. They're drafting Will Anderson.
Will Anderson at this point. When we were saying it's close between Jalen Carter and Will Anderson, I have Carter ahead just on field, but you're not in your right mind drafting Jalen Carter, even if he gets completely exonerated at this point of all charges.
Would there be teams interested in trading to two? So could they
at this
trade
point
down
now,
twice?
That they keep going? That would, if I was the Bears, that's the thing. You don't have to stop, right?
Right.
You don't have to. And that was kind of what we said with the Panthers. It's like, I don't think they want to give up that much. But if you're the Bears now, you already kind of got some icing on the cake. You already just got a second and a fourth. Why not keep going? So I do think there is some juice to that, because I think it's either two or three if you're the Carolina Panthers
that you're looking
to move up.
So obviously Bryce Young's off the board, but if it's such a strange quarterback class where all these guys are radically different, and I think there are going to be some very different evaluations about them all. There are going to be teams that don't like Bryce Young's size and will gravitate to the more prototypical size guys. And okay, Bryce Young's gone, one quarterback's off the board. But if you're Carolina or the Raiders and you love a guy, you still need to jump Indianapolis to make that happen. So you're looking at two or three to make that trade. So I think the Bears should definitely be fielding calls at number two.
But I think it then makes more sense once Will Anderson's off the board at number three.
Sure.
I think we go Will Anderson here, and then Arizona Cardinals is probably who would want to trade back then, because it's like there's no, you know, are we going to take Tyree Wilson here?
Right.
I don't – that's not as much as nowhere near as much as like that pick's nowhere near as valuable drafting Tyree Wilson as it would be to the Panthers drafting CJ Stroud.
So the Raiders, the Panthers, or the Titans, which team is going to jump up to get ahead of Indianapolis?
Let's go Panthers.
Panthers. Panthers there. Who are they picking?
Panthers going CJ Stroud. Yeah.
This is what we would do?
Yeah.
I wouldn't pick CJ Stroud here.
You wouldn't pick CJ Stroud there?
I don't like CJ Stroud.
Well, then who are we taking at number three if we're moving up?
Either of the other two guys. I have so many concerns about Stroud's tape up until the Georgia game. And then the Georgia game answered all of them, and I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah. I do like Stroud. I mean, I really like this quarterback class. I like all these guys in the right situation. To me, that's the right situation for him.
Either it's a good spot.
There or Las Vegas is where I would want to see CJ Stroud land. So if you want to see the Raiders move up here or the Panthers, but I don't think you would sit at number three if you're the Arizona Cardinals here.
No, you're certainly going to be looking to get out. Well, let's do the Carolina thing.
Okay.
So what do they need to give up to make that happen?
Carolina Panthers to do it at this point.
Number nine.
Again, not going to be nearly as much. Probably 39 and a future two.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So two, number nine and two twos.
Two second round and the nine to get up to
three.
Number three overall.
Offer it.
Done.
Boom. Accepted.
Resume draft. Draft a player.
CJ.
Grabbing CJ Stroud.
All right.
So, Bryce Young, Will Anderson, CJ Stroud. That's our top three. And now the Colts are picking at number four.
Here's the interesting one.
Yeah, so Levis or Richardson.
This is where I like Richardson. I have them close enough on the board that I think, again, fit where you're landing matters with Shane Steichen and what he did with Jalen Hurts. Give him the rushing threat in that offense. Like, give him that. Now, Levis can run, He ain't running like Richardson. No. You know, like, it ain't close. So we saw how creative he was in that running game with Philadelphia, that it can just be put on, you know, steroids with a guy like Anthony Richardson at the helm.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a bit yesterday. I think Richardson's floor is actually really high. And for a team like the Colts, who should have been better than they were, maybe can rebuild quite quickly. But if they can't, they kind of need a guy that can prop them up for a little bit and do stuff on his own and sort of survive. Like, Levis feels like he does need some more help. I mean, if nothing else, his tape over the last 2 years kind of shows how dependent he is on some kind of help, right? Like, by definition, this is not a guy that's going to come in and, like, drag a bunch of guys that stink to somewhere that they shouldn't be. Whereas Richardson might be able to do that just by coming in and surviving through his own athleticism and figuring it out with some explosive plays and stuff. Like, him dropped into the situation that buried Matt Ryan might actually work out okay.
Yes, I agree. I will go Tony.
All right. I like that. Anthony Richardson at 4. So we've got Bryce Young, Will Anderson, CJ Stroud to the Panthers at 3. Anthony Richardson to the Colts at 4. Which brings up Seattle, who are now presumably not in the quarterback market, having locked up Geno Smith to, what, a 3-year, $105 million deal, something like that.
Now, I will say, if there's a head coach GM that has bought themselves enough goodwill with the public to draft someone like Jalen Carter, it would be the Seattle Seahawks with Josh Schneider and Pete Carroll. To just be like, hey, we talked to him. I trust him. We're going to get him in here. He's going to be a good guy. You know, like, they could do that. I could see Seattle, if that's the case, come draft day, if he's on the board there. And obviously not going to predict what's going to happen over the next month and a half with Carter's legal situation. But it's a spot where I could see it happening, I'll just say.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're also, like, as much as I just said, they're out of the quarterback market with Geno Smith, it wouldn't be insane. You know, like, the Geno Smith thing is structured in such a way they can kind of get away from it after a couple of years. It's about the right idea for them. It wouldn't be nuts to draft his, particularly a guy like Levis, who might actually need, like, we're all talking about Richardson as, or a lot of people talk about Richardson as the guy that needs to sit for a year. Levis might actually be the one that needs a little bit of time before he becomes a starter, and that would, he'd have that in Seattle. Alternatively, you basically have your pick of any of the top players at any other position, effectively. So whether you're the guy that says this is time for Jalen Carter, or whether you want the top corner off the board, the top wide receiver, whatever, like, you can get whatever you want at this point.
I'm honestly of the opinion I'd go Jalen Carter here. What do you think?
I mean, he's obviously worth it from just a player point of view. Mm-hmm. The question is how you feel about his character now, ironically. I don't know. I really don't know. Because it's a strange mix of, like, okay, this is a very bad thing he is apparently said to have done. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it is sort of, it's immaturity rather than malice, I would say. Right?
It was a dumb thing.
Right. Whereas the things that were being used to counter the original Todd McShay report of character concerns, blah, 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 stuff like he paid for some lineman's lunch, you know, every day out of his own college fund, that kind of thing. Like, he might actually be a very nice guy, just immature as hell, and apparently that resulted in the death of a couple of people, or was involved in, contributed to the death of a couple of people if he was involved in this racing thing. Like, if you're Seattle and you're like, we think the kid is good, we just need to make sure he stays on the straight and narrow, that probably is a pretty good organization.
Well, that's why I'm saying that's a good organization in terms of, like, the goodwill they've built up over the past decade.
Right.
So I think we do it. I go Jalen Carter.
Let's do it. Jalen Carter, number 5, stops his slide. Detroit Lions, number 6.
There's one answer for me for the Detroit Lions at number 6, and it's Devin Witherspoon. And I will not hear otherwise unless you have a strong counter-argument.
You're that convinced that he's cornerback one, despite, you know, Christian Gonzalez having a great combine.
He's a Dan Campbell corner, you know? He fits there. Like, you watch him play the game, and it's just like he fits the ethos they're trying to build up. And the best press corner in this class, at least on tape, now he doesn't have a prototypical press traits, but that's not always, you know. it's not the biggest deal in the world. You know, Jeffrey Okuda had prototypical press traits, and we've obviously seen kind of how that's worked out. So I just think the player is someone they'll want. And truthfully, I want to see him, you know, go to one of the press heaviest defenses in the NFL and get that chance. So I like him a lot, and I don't think there's another. I just don't think there's like a true can't misser at this point that you're passing up on if you draft with this.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are going to point to edge rusher Tyree Wilson. That seems to be continually linked with Detroit, even though I don't quite understand it. I think cornerback is a much bigger need for them. And at number six, you get to pick who you think is the best one. Mm-hmm. I kind of agree with you. I think that Dan Campbell would definitely gravitate to Devin Witherspoon's tape. So we do that?
Let's do it. Devin Witherspoon.
Number seven, Raiders. And Levis is on the clock.
That one feels like, right?
Slam dunk?
If he's going to want Tim Tebow, and now this is over a decade ago, but what if I told you this was Tim Tebow that had a cannon for an arm?
Uh-huh.
Is that something you'd be interested in, Josh McDaniels?
Does sound a lot like the kind of thing Josh McDaniels would
it
like.
It sounds like something he'd like.
Yeah. And the thing is, that situation is actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like the Raiders, their offensive line really rebuilt itself sort of during the season last year. Like
they
fell down to 31st, something like that, in the rankings over the course of the year early on, and then climbed all the way up to borderline top 10 by the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Illuminor at right tackle played really well. I would bring him back immediately. I wouldn't even let him test free agency if I'm the Raiders. Dylan Parham was bounced around all the interior positions, I think played reasonably well in certain spots. Like that line could get pretty good quickly. The wide receiver, obviously, when you bring in Devontae Adams is incredible. The rest of them were all hurt. Like if that group gets back healthy, it's actually a pretty good group.
I think it's a good fit. I think that's ideal. One of the ideal fits for Levis too.
Yeah.
Right.
Bullet. So, Levis done. Now the Atlanta Falcons are on the clock, number eight.
This one's interesting. I think this is where you go, Tyree. They've just been Tyree Wilson. They've just been so desperate for a pass rusher, of any sort,
any impact
outside of Grady
defensive lineman. I mean, anybody on defense makes sense for them, but it does make more sense, I think, to grab an impact defensive lineman that can try and do something basically by himself than it does to add a corner who, you know, one guy, even if he's locked down, is not going to completely transform your defense or the rest of it stinks. Wilson's there. Who else would make some kind of sense? Like, I'd be curious.
Peter Skoronski is their kind of offensive lineman. If they don't get re-signed Caleb McGarry, it would make a lot of sense for them to draft a guy like Peter Skoronski.
Put him at right tackle?
Yeah, put him at right tackle.
Kalijah Kancey is a guy that's starting to be talked about in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
They have Grady
That's a small DT duo.
Yes, that's the thing. He's more of a sort of successor to Grady Jarrett than he is a compliment to him. So that might not make some sense. Lucas Van Ness, the Iowa defensive end. Bryant Branch, the safety from Alabama. Like, you're on a ton of options here for Atlanta. I think Tyree Wilson does make the most sense for them.
All right, let's go Tyree Wilson.
All right, one more pick, and then we've... Two more picks. We've rounded out of top 10. Arizona, here's where they're actually on the clock, having traded down from number three.
Arizona can legitimately go anywhere, right? Like, they're just, there's not a spot, except for linebacker. Please don't draft any more linebackers.
Don't do it again.
So, it's just BPA. Who do you like the most at this point in the draft is where I'd ride if I'm the Arizona Cardinals.
I really think that secondary needs help, a lot of help.
Like Christian Gonzalez would make a ton
I would
of
be
sense.
Looking at Gonzalez. I would be looking at Kalijah Kancey as well for the defensive front. That's in bad need of help as well. Mm-hmm. Those would be the two spots that I'd be looking at.
Okay. Let's go with Christian Gonzalez. He's damn good.
Yeah.
Great athlete. Something they're missing in that
secondary. Christian Gonzalez, Arizona Cardinals, number nine. Pick number 10, the Philadelphia Eagles. The Super Bowl losing Philadelphia Eagles picking inside the top 10 thanks to future-proofing their draft approach. Man, this is like, what a luxury pick.
I know. The fact that you could just get Jaxon Smith-Njigba here to round out a wide receiver trio that would be out of this world. You could get a Kalijah Kancey here to basically kind of ease the transition from the last era of that defensive line with Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham, who are probably, you know, Graham may be retiring, Cox may be on his way out here soon, that that gives you another guy to just keep that strength, a strength. And obviously something that they wouldn't mind. They've always not given a darn about, you know, smaller linemen. So
I
think one of those two.
I love the Kalijah Kancey fit here.
Okay.
I think this is a perfect match. Like, it's,
yeah,
I think it's about where he should go in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, I'm not sure I could put him on a team that I would prefer to see him on more than the Eagles.
Like, okay, let's do it.
He can come in. They're presumably going to let Javon Hargrave walk in free agency because of the cost. I don't think he's like a like-for-like replacement for Hargrave, but he can be the guy that Milton Williams was supposed to be for them,
mm-hmm.
like this actual undersized impact pass rushing.
Don't sleep on Milton Williams. He could have a breakout year. He could be. This is year three.
This is year?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I think Kancey coming in.
Yeah, let's do it.
Just makes perfect sense.
I like it a lot. I like it a lot.
All right. So let's do the reset, Mike.
Okay, top 10 reset.
I think that's what they call it in the if you are a professional, as opposed to whatever we are. Number one, Bryce Young, Houston Texans, trade up to number one with the Chicago Bears. They grab their quarterback. They grab the number one player on the board and the number one quarterback, according to PFF. Pick number two, Chicago Bears fielded some calls. In the end, decided to stay at number two, draft Will Anderson, the edge rusher from Alabama, the best defensive player in the draft. Number three, Carolina, trade up, jump the Indianapolis Colts, get to the number three spot, draft their quarterback, C.J. Stroud from Ohio State. Number four, the Indianapolis Colts sit there and grab Anthony Richardson, super freak quarterback from Florida. Number five, the Seattle Seahawks grab Jalen Carter, arguably the best defensive player in the draft, only now with some legal issues. They grab him, stop that slide. Number six, Detroit Lions grab a cornerback, Devin Witherspoon from Illinois. Number seven, the Raiders didn't have to move and still came out of this with a quarterback, Will Levis from Kentucky. Number eight, the Falcons draft Tyree Wilson, the giant edge rusher from Texas Tech. Number nine, Arizona Cardinals, when they traded back, Christian Gonzalez from Oregon. And number 10, the Philadelphia Eagles grab an in-state product, Kalijah Kancey, an undersized defensive tackle from Pittsburgh, which worked out pretty well the last time.
So they've all, every single one's hit so far.
Every single interior, that's two, this will be two for two?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although there was Jalen Twyman, but he was a little bit bigger.
All right, so Tennessee up number 11 now.
Yes.
What do they do? Because we did our, you know, fixing every team series, and I think the Titans were one of two or three teams where we looked at
Can't
the team.
Fix them.
Well, we looked at the team and decided the way to fix is to blow it up.
Yes.
Like, that's the approach. There was only two or three teams who were like, there isn't any fixing this without, you know, taking the thing down to the bare bones and starting over. Like,
yeah,
they were one of those teams.
They had a weird, just few years in free agency where they gave out some big deals and then didn't re-sign their own guys. They've had an odd couple years and sort of precipitous fall from being a one seed only a year ago.
I mean, they've just, you know, people have been fired over this already, but they are reaping the rewards of a few very bad personnel decisions.
Yeah.
Like the decision to not pay A.J. Brown, trade him away, replace him with
Treylon
Burks. Yeah, Treylon Burks, the Robert Woods thing.
Robert Woods
already isn't there.
Yeah.
Burks injured and a hell of an ask for a rookie. Like, that's, and obviously everything A.J. Brown did, like, that's just about as bad as it gets. They handed an absolute ton of money to Bud Dupree and Harold Landry. Landry got injured almost immediately. Bud Dupree just was never going to be worth it and has been injured. He's already gone. Like, these are several of the worst decisions you can make, and now it's all coming back to haunt.
And then Taylor Lewan getting hurt. Obviously, you thought he was going to be part of future plans. Not anymore. That's what, they're in a good spot in this draft. Pick any offensive lineman. I think Paris Johnson, Peter Skoronski, you take your medicine, you get a guy you know is going to be solid. If that, like, I would lean Peter Skoronski just because you know, like, the certainty with which you know he's probably going to be a good player, even if it is at guard. Is probably where I'd lean.
That's the thing for them. Like, they have an offensive line that's so bad that if a guy needs to go in a different position, as long as he's still good, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Skoronski isn't a tackle, you know, you give him a chance to fail a tackle. He fails a tackle, you move him into guard, but he's good at guard. That still helps.
Yeah.
Whereas if you goof on a tackle and he's only a tackle, now you just wasted a pick.
Mm-hmm.
You've at least got some kind of contingency here that if he fails at one position, he can still help at another that you still need.
All right, should we go Skoronski then?
Okay.
Let's go Skoronski. All right. Texans back on the clock after getting Bryce Young, number one overall.
So how do you treat this pick if you're Houston? Because teams have this tendency, you know, if you've got multiple first-round picks, I think, to treat it kind of like house money and essentially behave differently with that pick than you would if it was your only pick, right? Take more of a gamble. And I feel like I would do this too. Like I've thought before, like last year when Detroit had two, you're like, well, you know, why not take a gamble on a quarterback? What the hell? You've already used a first-round pick. It's free money. So I think I would behave exactly the same way, but I'm also pretty sure it's bad process.
Just swing for the fences?
Yeah.
What's the fence swing here in your eyes? To me, Quentin Johnston's the fence swing here that I
probably, would, yeah.
If I'm them. You got Bryce Young. Give me the freakiest wide receiver in this year's class and just let's see if it works.
It probably is. Like I'm a lot lower on Quentin Johnston than you, but I also 100% see the argument that he brings things to the table that these other guys don't.
Yeah.
I also think there's an argument in a different way that Jackson Smith and Jigba can be that. Like he's being talked about as this sort of slot only guy. Mm-hmm. Maybe he becomes a sort of, you know, what we're talking about with Garrett Wilson, where he can play inside and outside, doesn't have to come off the field. But like, what if he can actually be a legit X receiver as well with that footwork, with that change of direction? Like if he can be that, he's the number one receiver in this draft.
The only thing that would give me pause from the Texans' perspective is I kind of just drafted that guy in the second round last year in John Metchie, that you want to be that. That's like similar stylistically.
Right.
Right? That if you're playing a slot receiver, Metchie's probably your slot receiver in an offense. So you're a little redundancy, like, and then you have no, you still have no, obviously you drafted Nico Collins hoping he'd be like your X guy, but you have no one to fill that role that you know can do that, which is why I would lean a little more towards Quentin Johnston. But I mean, JSN's one of the safest picks in this draft. I don't think go wrong with him.
He 100% is, but I also think the sort of, I think the ceiling for him is being underplayed a little bit because
no, I agree.
Everybody's sort of focusing on just how safe the safe parts are, but without sort of saying, well, hang on, like, we're just assuming he can't do this stuff. What if he can? We haven't really seen it yet, but but if he can, that like completely transforms his value and how high you would take him and what his ceiling is, et cetera. But I'm kind of with you. I think Quentin Johnston would be the swing for the fences pick.
Let's go, QJ.
Let's do it. Number 13.
Do we trade this to the Packers for Aaron Rodgers after the hot talks?
Right.
Of the day.
Probably. I think we certainly did that with in our fixing the series thing. So I guess for consistency's sake, we should say that's happening.
Because they're doing something, right? They're not just sitting at pick 13 and rolling in with Jimmy G next year, I don't think, right? They're trying to do something, whether it's if they go into the draft using that to go up and get one of these QBs, or I don't think they're just rolling in again with Jimmy G, draft a right tackle here, see how it works out. It's like, no, you got to make some plays because this roster's too good to just say, oh, let's see.
I think they're certainly trying to do that. Okay. Like if they were happy just getting a capable starting quarterback and going into next year, they probably would have signed Derek Carr.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, there were reports that they they sold him all kinds of crap in terms of, oh, you'll be a Hall of Famer if you come to the Jets. It's like, sure, but they didn't do it. You know what I mean? It's like, let's try and keep Derek Carr on side in case we need him later on. But
that argument does apply to Aaron Rodgers, though. Hey, you'll be a Hall of Famer if you come to the Jets, Aaron Rodgers.
Uh-huh.
That's true. That one does work.
So let's do that. Aaron Rodgers is going to the New York Jets.
Okay.
It's going to take pick number 13. It's probably going to take something else.
We'll just do that. That'll be for
ease sake. Force the trade. So the Jets, the Packers, are now on the clock with pick number 13 and 15 in a couple of picks. So what are they doing?
I think they would love a Lucas Van Ness. They would love a...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Miles Murphy, but I think they'd also love maybe Jackson Smith and Jigba. They really wanted that when they drafted Amari Rodgers. They still don't have that, like the slot that actually can block, the slot that's reliable. And again, if you're drafting at 13 versus 15, Jackson Smith and Jigba is the guy that the Patriots are 100% going to be in the mix. You know, like, right? That's
right.
That feels like the comp for him in the draft guide is Julian Edelman.
Let me just pitch you a scenario for a moment.
Okay.
You trade away Aaron Rodgers. You're now left with two first round picks.
Use them both on wide receivers.
Well, not necessarily wide receivers. But what if we came out of the next two picks with Jaxon Smith-Njigba and then Dalton Kincaid? All of a sudden, Jordan Love just has an array
Let's
of weaponry.
Do it. We have to do it.
Okay. In a way Aaron Rodgers has not had for years.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Jaxon Smith-Njigba 13.
Okay. Picks. Patriots, what do they do now that they've been foiled at 14?
I think they would love Brian Branch. He's like their kind of football player, the Alabama safety. I think they'd also love Joey Porter, press man corner.
So Porter's the interesting thing for them because, like, he's the guy that would have fit in that defense a couple of years ago when they were doing all the man coverage. Yeah. Like, do they still want to do that and just didn't have the horses for it last year? Or have they moved away from that kind of the way the rest of the league has as well?
I think they still want to do that. They just had 5'9", corners playing outside last year.
Right.
So.
Okay. So Joey Porter Jr., the best sort of pure man man corner in this draft. And then Dalton Kincaid for the Packers at 15.
Love it.
All of a sudden, you look at that group of receivers for the Packers, if that happened, and you've got guys we just drafted. You've got the guys that they drafted a year ago.
Romeo Doubs.
Each of whom showed something. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there was something to the Romeo Doubs hype preseason, et cetera. It was just, it got out of control, right?
Yeah.
But, like, he can be a player.
He looks solid.
That's a decent group. Okay, it's young and inexperienced as hell, but that can form a hell of a nucleus and a cheap one for a couple of years when you've got Jordan Love and try and figure out what he is. Mm-hmm. And you have the added bonus of it being funny.
Yeah.
Which is obviously great.
All right, Washington at 16. I think they have to look O-line here.
Yeah, I could see that.
Or corner.
Corner makes a lot of sense. Their cornerback room was pretty rough. Mm-hmm. I could see offensive line as well. It's reaching the point where offensive line is getting to be valued.
The value
at this
looks
point.
Good. Yeah. So, the Paris Johnson, Deontay Banks is where my head would be at for either of these two picks, for this pick.
I think,
anyone you like?
Paris Johnson makes a lot of sense. I don't think they're bad.
I agree.
At offensive line. But I also think that, so Charles Leno is the type of player that fans hate because he's average.
Yeah.
And fans hate average tackles. Because average tackles, when they run up against elite players, get their ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't get their ass kicked every play, but like enough that it's obvious in the game and drives people nuts. But there's like value to having an average offensive tackle, and it's probably all you really need. But they're always going to want to upgrade on that.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I could go with Paris Johnson.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Let's do Paris
Pick number 16, Paris Johnson Jr. from Ohio State. Giving Washington, in theory, an upgrade at left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers, 17.
Some interesting names on the board here still for the Steelers. I like Nolan Smith, the fit there, because they obviously still use like 3-4 outside linebackers, like true guys who drop and stuff. And Nolan Smith, with his athleticism, that's like he's the perfect fit and the perfect guy for that. Like Brian Branch, just because he's a football player. In defense, that especially their secondary, that kind of like they do a lot of different combo coverages that need smart, heady guys like a Brian Branch.
They're another team that needs cornerbacks quite badly as well.
And corner.
So Deontay Banks makes
a
lot of sense
well.
For them. They're like that cornerback room last year was rough, and they're losing players to free agency. They're probably going to do some kind of backfill in free agency as well, but like they could really use drafting a guy.
All right, which one do you want? What's your favorite?
I think Banks makes the most sense for that group. Just fills
the
biggest need, and they feel like a team that would do that.
Okay, and he's good. I mean, he's a heck of an athlete. What a freak at the combine he was.
Detroit Lions, number 18, their second pick, their house money pick. Where are they going?
Looking at the board here. I don't know.
I kind of love.
What do you like?
What if you added? So you're getting Jameson Williams back. Dude is amazing.
Yes.
Just in limited sample size, you watch him play, and it's immediately obvious that he moves at a different rate than everybody else around him. So you're going to get Jameson Williams back. Presumably takes a fairly significant role this year as their X outside speed threat, whatever. You've got Amon-Ra St. Brown. What if you added a Jordan Addison to that group?
Ooh.
Like, I think he might be the number one receiver in the draft. I know his combine wasn't great. His
combine was
speed
not great,
wasn't
but he,
great.
But he is like a true outside wide receiver that just
right.
can win
it's
on the
not
outside.
Like, it's not like we expected him to blow the combine away.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't exactly surprised that the numbers weren't amazing.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, again, to the degree where it's like, that guy can't succeed.
Right.
He can. So I like wide receiver. I like either him or Zay would be unique.
I mean,
dudes
I would
to add to
100%
that
take Addison ahead of Zay.
Okay,
Flowers.
Let's do it.
So let's do that. So Tampa Bay, pick number 19. No quarterbacks available. Let's mm-hmm. hope they've done something about that in free agency, because either that or Kyle Trask has to be the guy. Where are they going?
I think they're going to cut Donovan Smith, right? I think his cap is such that
yeah,
it just doesn't make sense with
that
where
actually happened. Only it didn't.
So I think one of the two tackles at this point, Anton Harrison, Broderick Jones. I don't know if you have a favorite between the two, Eile and Harrison, but Jones, is, they're both solid prospects. So
right. I'm happy to defer to your superior expertise in the offensive tackles. Let's go Anton Harrison.
Let's go Anton Harrison.
Plug straight in. Start at left tackle for them.
Yep.
Now Seattle is back on the clock at number
20. Seattle back on the clock. They got Jalen Carter.
Yeah. So maybe that was the house money pick.
Yeah, I'd be intrigued by Lucas Van Ness here with that. Because, I mean, like, it's still a need, right? You drafted Boye Mafe last year. Didn't see enough from him to really go to bat. But there's no one else really across from him. There's no difference makers along that defensive line. So drafting two of them in one draft.
Yeah. Seattle is such a weird team because nobody really knows exactly what they covet when it comes to defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone knows their cornerback profile is like a walking prototype, right? But what do they even value when it comes to defensive line? Because it's a weird collection of guys that they've targeted.
That's the thing. They've had no rhyme or reason to
yeah.
any of those guys.
Whereas
and the best one they found was Puna Ford. It was like 5 foot.
Right, who doesn't fit any of profiles. Like almost every corner they draft is the same from size, mm-hmm. like from a measurements and size point of view. And then the defensive line are like random size-wise, measurement size, profile-wise. It's bizarre.
So I like either Van Ness or even Miles Murphy.
Are we collectively completely souring on a guy like Brian Brzee, who
I'm not,
you know, not that long ago was seen as like a really high pick, and then the closer we get, the more I think people look into it and dive into his tape and just generally evaluate. He seems to be sliding.
I really I still like him. You go back and watch his North Carolina tape, and he was dominant in that game. He's in a role at Clemson that I didn't think a lot of – like wasn't – was all more often than not kind of just like doing his job as a blitzer. And there's a blitz-heavy scheme that's not letting him just go one-on-one. But I do think he didn't develop either. He looks much like the same guy he was a freshman. And now he tore his ACL last year. Some of that's that, but – yeah, that's more worrisome. It's, you know, you got to take your chance on the guy who's, you know, a freak athlete for sure for the defense tackle position. He tested out incredibly well at the combine, but has not improved from when he was number one overall recruit versus a freak athlete in Lucas Van Ness, who's been ascending, and you see the improvement already. So I think that's more the conversation that's going on with Brzee. It's like there's no doubt the athletic tools are all there, but it's just why didn't it get better during his time at Clemson?
The other thing I think they could really use is somebody that works the middle of the field from a pass-catching standpoint. You've
mm-hmm.
got Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. Those guys are both amazing receivers, but they're very
outside folks.
Like,
yes.
I think people assume Tyler Lockett maybe plays more inside because of his size, but he really doesn't.
No.
So, and they don't have anybody that's threatening in that area at the moment. That,
so I you're saying Michael Mayer?
Maybe. Like, maybe Mayer, maybe you know, a guy like Zay Flowers, maybe this is a pick that's more suited for the second round. Like you end up getting one of those smaller guys that works
that's how
the
I
middle.
Would feel.
But it's definitely a need that they need to think about, I think, mm-hmm. in the first couple of rounds. I'm okay with Van Ness. I think that makes some sense.
Let's go Luke's Van Ness.
Boom. Miami forfeited pick number 21. So the real number 21 is the Los Angeles Chargers.
It's got to be Zay, right? Zay Flowers, right?
Zay Flowers.
You just got to have some juice in that receiving core.
They do. They need speed. They need speed from somewhere.
I don't hate Michael Mayer here if that's eventually their pick, because just he is another guy who can win. And I think his ball skills are something that Herbert, at least with his play style to date, would target a bunch, would be useful in that offense. Like that offense as it was crafted last year, Michael Mayer would have been perfect for it, right. You know, like ideal. So TBD on how it'll be set up this year, or if like some of that offense is more just like that's what Herbert's comfortable, that's what he likes to do rather than throw the ball down the football field. So TBD on how different it'll be. But I also do know Mayer with Kellen Moore and the emphasis on the run game, emphasis in tight ends, as blockers in the run game would make sense too. So here I like Zay or Mayer as the pick. I don't know if you had any other takes about who you would like to see.
No, I mean, looking at their roster, it's tough to see a spot that would be an immediate kind of impact starter for them. I mean, Brian Brzee on the defensive line, they're still not done fixing that interior where it's just been a weakness for years now. I think some of that is a feature rather than a bug. Like they're actually – they want to invite the run more than other teams, but you still need to be vaguely competent at stopping it once you've invited it.
Yeah.
So I know they brought in a couple of players last year to try and do that. They didn't really have the impact that we thought they would have. I think Brzee would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Part of this is I'm just lower on Zay Flowers than
that's fair.
Than you and then other people as well. So I'm not in love with that pick if they go that way. I'd probably be looking at Brzee.
I like Brzee.
Like at this point, number 21, you're kind of asking yourself, are Nolan Smith, Miles Murphy, are these guys value at this point to the stage where I know I've got, you know, Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack. They're expensive. They're old. Mm-hmm. Mack is. But like at what point do we just start future-proofing this and think about value on the edge?
Yeah. I like Brzee, though. I think Brzee's
okay.
Good pick, though.
Let's do that.
Brzee.
Baltimore, number 22.
This one could be Nolan Smith. They just drafted Ajabo last year. Brian Branch, if they didn't have Kyle Hamilton playing the slot, would be like, feels like a Raven, but you're just too redundant in their roles. I mean, Miles Murphy, Nolan Smith, I get that they have edge talent that's young in the fold. You know, you just drafted Dafe Owe in the first. You just drafted David Ojabo in the second last year, but I don't think that's going to stop a team like Baltimore from adding at that position.
Yeah, I mean, they also, as much as they had those young guys, like last year, arguably, I mean, half their pass rush was like these ancient veterans,
from
like
Houston,
Justin Houston, JPP. Those guys are presumably getting let go. Like, they do still need to add rotation or depth on the edge. So I could definitely see that. They're also, like, they're losing some interesting players. They're presumably losing Marcus Peters to free agency. Cornerback all of a sudden is actually kind of a weakness for them, unless they restock that. Obviously, wide receiver is always a weakness for Baltimore. And now, I mean, depending on what happens with Lamar Jackson, but either way, they're going to be moving to a more wide receiver-centric offense. Mm-hmm. So, like, maybe they're a team that makes a big splash in free agency or via trade. But if, like, this is if their wide receiver room looks the same on night one of the draft as it looks now, you almost can't not draft a wide receiver in the first round, right?
Yeah. So who do you like then? What would you say?
I would definitely think those edge rushers are just looking like great value at this point. But, man, it's going to be hard. Like, they've put themselves in a position where it's really tough not to draft a wide receiver.
I think Zay's too, especially if you're rolling with Lamar Jackson, he's too similar to what just didn't work with Hollywood Brown, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. You've sort of you don't just need a wide receiver, but you kind of need a guy that can actually be more than the other players you've had.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough to see one of them left in this draft that you would be comfortable with in the first round. Like,
right.
There's some guys maybe you might take a shot at lower, but it's hard to argue one of those round one. I think it's probably one of those edge rushers.
Yeah. We go Nolan Smith?
Yeah.
All right, let's go Nolan Smith.
Nolan Smith and his 4.39 40. Giving them two edge rushers, right? With a 4.3.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, 3.9, but whatever.
That's some speed. That'd be fun.
That has to be the first time that's ever happened.
Yes.
Multiple edge rushers that run.
I feel confident saying that, yeah.
Right.
Although, wait, the Cowboys are close, right? They have Parsons, and Sam Williams went for 4-something, though.
Yeah.
I don't think he went under. But
that's insane speed. Minnesota Vikings on the clock at number 23.
I think they'd really like Brian Branch, you know, for Brian Flores, coach defense, just because secondary is such a need for them. You have really no one on paper right now that can play the slot for you. And obviously, just value wise, it makes the most sense here. Now, I could see the argument for Zay Flowers as well. Like, get a dynamic receiver across from, it kind of just builds out your two deep. Mm-hmm. That receiver gives you two dynamic guys that basically, hey, oh, if you want to put all your safeties over Justin Jefferson, the other side's going to be deep. You know, we have speed on the other side to really threaten. So that's the guy I'd like a lot.
Branch makes a lot of sense. I think anywhere on defense for them mm-hmm. is a pick that would work. Like Miles Murphy would be in play. I think they've got both those guys, Za'Darius Smith and Danielle Hunter. They're both high-priced. My money right now would be that only one of those guys is still on the roster come opening day. So they probably have to replace one of them, even if it doesn't look like they need to right now. So I think Murphy's an option. Offensive line, their need is interior rather than at the tackles. So I'm not sure the value matches up there. Other options, yeah, they're kind of running low. Like there's not a ton of obvious spots in it. It's really Branch or Murphy, I would say.
Mm-hmm. I lean Branch for them.
All right, let's do that. So
get them off the board.
Jacksonville, pick number 24. All of a sudden, Jags have got some players.
They don't have a ton of holes.
They're keeping their tight end. They're bringing Calvin Ridley back. He got reinstated.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, Trevor Lawrence actually got some toys to play with.
Yeah. I think where they would be looking if the board fell like this is Broderick Jones, right?
So they're probably losing Juwan Taylor.
Probably going to lose Juwan Taylor. Now, you have Walker Little there developmentally as your developmental backup tackle, but, you know, Balky said we want a team that looks good off the bus. You know, flat out said it. You know what? You want an offensive lineman that looks good off the bus? It's Broderick freaking Jones.
Yeah.
That guy is built like a pro wrestler coming off the bus.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Walker Little misses out simply for not looking the part.
Sorry, Walker, buddy. Man, got tough, passed up.
That's a tough gig.
Broderick.
All right, Broderick Jones, tackle out of Georgia. New York Giants, pick number 25.
Yeah, I don't love the Giants' prospects in this draft at 25 of getting, like, what they need. But I do think the way this board fell, Zay Flowers just, like, almost has to be the pick. Now, he's not probably the guy. He's probably the last one you want of, like, those first-round wide receivers in this class.
Yeah.
But the separators, you know, Joe Shane said, we want separators. Flowers is a separator. Wandale's a separator. They're a little redundant in their roles, possibly. But I think Flowers is much more of an outside wide receiver than Wandale ever was.
Yeah, and I also think if there is a coach that can kind of figure out how to get multiple unconventional offense or unconventional receivers functioning at the same time in one offense, Daboll is that guy. Yeah. Like it's anytime you have to try and accommodate multiple players that have more than a slight affinity with gimmick, it's difficult. Mm-hmm. But if I was going to give it the task to one guy, that would be him. So it's probably as good as you can get. They probably aren't going to grab an edge rusher very high. Mayer at tight end would make some sense, but I think Zay Flowers is the spot.
Let's do it.
Dallas, Zay, number 26.
Number 26.
There's no way in hell that this is not Bijan Robinson, right?
It's Bijan Robinson.
Even though they just put the franchise tag on Tony Pollard, they're going to get rid of Zeke, and Bijan is the guy.
I think Bijan, yeah.
And then Tony Pollard spends his entire lifetime as a complimentary back to some workhorse.
All right, Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, that's an interesting spot for them. It's starting to get a decent amount of edge rusher value. They still need some edge rushers.
Still just keep drafting edge rushers?
I guess. Like, until you fix it, you got to keep going, right?
I mean, is Von Miller going to be back and, like, playing next year, I guess, this year?
So there's that, and, like, if he does that materially change the output of the other guys that didn't step up in his absence? Like, do we still have confidence that the collection of young guys that they have outside of Von Miller are going to take that step and, you know, eventually be able to stand up on their own two feet and dominate? Or are we thinking, like, okay, Von Miller being back obviously makes a big difference, but, like, we still need to fix the thing. Like, it's the underlying pressure outside of Von Miller is not going to be great.
It really doesn't feel like a great pick here.
No. They could also really use offensive line help.
Yeah.
But do you want to take a gamble on a guy like DeJuan Jones, that size? Are you comfortable with the best interior guy like Osiris Torrance?
I wouldn't hate an Osiris Torrance here, just kind of saying, hey, we just need a guy right now.
Hmm.
I wouldn't do it personally. I don't love that. But there's not too many other great fits here.
They feel like a team. Edge rusher is obviously a need for them. Mm-hmm. But that offensive line got pretty rough this year.
Yeah.
And all season long, it felt like too much was on the plate of Josh Allen. Now, mm-hmm. it worked. You know, their offense was amazing. Josh Allen led the league in touchdowns, et cetera. But, like, it did feel like it was too much. And maybe you might want to dial it back and give him just a little bit more protection and help from, you know, everything else.
Yeah, my only worry here is pick 27. The two guys that I would draft, DeJuan Jones, Osiris Torrance, they have no positional flexibility. DeJuan Jones is the right tackle. Osiris Torrance is a guard. They're not moving too many other positions, which isn't the worst thing in the world, but, like, ideally, if you're drafting a guy in the first round, you'd want him to be able to wear multiple hats. So
they're also very – I mean, they're kind of alike in terms of behemoth offensive linemen, mm-hmm. which it works for some teams. But, like, you're not – you don't have a lot of flexibility. Forget position. Yeah. You don't have a lot of scheme flexibility
exactly.
either. Like,
yeah.
you're very much pegging yourself into, like, dominant physical specimen offensive linemen,
mm-hmm.
which isn't really how the rest of that line is built. Yeah. Like, imagine Osiris Torrance lining up next to Mitch Morse.
What's his face? The left tackle's massive.
It's not specifically built the other direction. Mm-hmm. It's just that would be an interesting choice to plug into that line.
I like DeJuan Jones.
Okay.
I like DeJuan Jones, sir.
All right.
Let's do it.
DeJuan Jones.
DeJuan Jones it is.
Longest wingspan ever measured
mm-hmm.
at the combine.
That means
monstrous offensive tackle from Ohio State.
That means we got to go, right, Michael Mayer to the Bengals. The hometown
yes.
kid.
DeJuan Jones, by the way, did you see the simulcast thing? I forget what they call that thing, where they overlay.
Yeah, yeah.
He made Mekhi Becton look small. Mekhi Becton is 6'7", 360-something at the combine, and he looked small. Now, he outran him, but because of the way the thing, it looked like Mekhi Becton, a 6'7", 360-pound dude, was like running away, you know, being chased down by this like giant behind him. It was ridiculous looking.
All right, Mayer to the Bengals.
Yeah.
Just that's honestly a dream scenario if you're the Bengals. That's like a guy who's – I just think what he brings to the table offensively is kind of perfect for all that they do and just a very reliable option over the middle of the field. Saints now, this feels like where Miles Murphy should come off the board. They kind of just – they may lose what's his face? In free agency.
Marcus Davenport
in free agency. They obviously still have Peyton Turner, but they continue to invest at that position. And Cameron Jordan is like, you're not relying on him anymore.
Right. Getting old.
He's not an impact player.
He's quite a Saints type of player as well in that defensive line. It's the kind of guy that they do target. So, yeah, I think that makes a lot
of
sense.
Miles
Murphy from Clemson. Pick number 30, Philadelphia. Another bonus pick. In the first round, or I guess
their
original pick.
Yeah, but
but they've already used one of the top 10, so where are they going?
I like a couple guys here. Mm-hmm. I either like Emmanuel Forbes, the Mississippi State corner, because obviously I think you're losing James Bradbury
right
this offseason, or I like Josh Downs, North Carolina wide receiver, because again, just three deep, that's untouchable. He is the second best slot corner in the slot wide receiver, in this class after JSN, tested out really well. I feel really good about him as a slot. So that was where my head's at with those two.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Definitely wide receiver. I know that, you know, they're obviously in really good shape with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, but you can never overstock at wide receiver if you find a third option.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they kind of future-proof the defensive line with their first pick. I wonder if they want to try and do the same thing on the offensive line with the next one. That's something they've had a tendency to do over the last few years. They're probably losing, say, Amalu to free agency, even if they, you know, even if they plug in somebody else as the
Jack
starter.
Driscoll. Yeah.
Right. Even if it's Driscoll or whatever as a starter, you probably want a future option somewhere early in this draft.
Yeah, I could see Osiris Torrance here. I don't hate that at all, actually.
That would be kind of fun.
Do we go?
You want to go Torrance?
Yeah, let's go Torrance.
Osiris Torrance, guard from Florida. What is he, 347 pounds?
Came in like 330s at the combine, but he's a big boy.
Yeah.
He ain't getting too much smaller than that.
So last pick of the first round, Kansas City Chiefs, pick number 31, because there's only 31 picks this year. Where are they going?
Oh man, I think Edge is like there's some value here.
So they just released Frank Clark, right?
Just released Frank Clark,
which makes sense.
I think of their type. So Steve Spagnuolo, bigger edges. Will McDonald, they're not drafting.
Right.
240, I don't think it's happening. B.J. Ojulari, you know, he came in like 248, 250 at the combine, but that's, I just don't think he's their type of edge. I think of anyone on the board here, Felix Anadike Uzama.
I kind of like him.
I think is where I'd go, yeah.
Not only has he got, you know, good tape, good production, the stuff he was saying at the podium, like he demonstrates intelligence, mm-hmm. like a plan. He understands what he's doing. Like he actually has a game plan and an approach to rushing the passer, which whether or not everybody does, you very rarely hear it articulated. Mm-hmm. And I think that was interesting. Like he literally sort of set out how he goes about starting a game, like trying to figure out, okay, I'm going to hit the guy with the first thing that I know I'm good at and then figure out where we can go from there. I think that would be a fascinating pick for them. Like they have a needed edge rusher. Even if George Karloftis takes a big jump in year two, I think that's the guy that I would have a lot of confidence in.
Let's do it. The other one I was thinking of that I've put to them a few times is Luke Musgrave, just as like a developmental tight end.
Right.
And a speed, like a vertical tight end that can win downfield, that can like still play a role while Kelce is still, you know, kicking.
Yeah. Like at some point you need to think about what that looks like, life beyond Kelce, mm-hmm. even if you're not. It's probably a dumb thing to try and find like the next Kelce to replace Kelce, but whatever that looks like in a world post Kelce, you need to have options, right? And if that option is a different type of tight end, that's still a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Kansas State edge rusher is the pick.
Boom,
done. There's our first round.
31 picks.
31 picks. What do we have? 2 trades. And a bunch of bonus drafts because of all the teams picking in the first round. And then, obviously, we also got rid of Aaron Rodgers and stuck it to him with two first-round weapons for Jordan Love to play with. So there we go.
I would be a happy man, let's just say, on draft day. That would, for the first time,
as an owner,
as a Packers fan, since I started doing like actual draft analysis, where I would agree with their first round picks.
Well, this is the draft that everybody's been wanting them to have for like the last God
yes.
knows how many years.
Yes.
5, 6 years.
At least.
Yeah. So for them to come out of that would be pretty good going.
Mm-hmm.
So look, let us know in the chat. Let us know over email how you think our draft picks
went. Don't email me. You can email
somebody. No, email Mike. Email Mike as well. But NFLpodcast@pff.com is the podcast email address. I'll be sure to forward them all to Mike so that he knows how you felt about his draft picks. Mike, appreciate you standing in for Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
I believe Steve will be back on his show on Wednesday tomorrow, but we'll see. We'll see if he makes it back to Cincinnati. That's been it for us for our mock draft post-combine. We'll have more content the rest of the week, and Mike will be back at some point.
Yeah,
take it easy, guys. Point.